Welcome to the Paradise Podcast.
The hell is a podcast?
This.
I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and this is a show in celebration of all things sports gambling. Located right here in beautiful Reno, Nevada.
That's our West Coast squad, Steve.
Party in Reno.
Wait, what? I'm just goofing. New boot goofing.
Oh!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Paradise Podcast. I am your host, Jess Marquez. This is your show, your one-stop shop for all things sports and pop culture-related gambling. We had a big week of football last week. Going to have another big one here coming up, championship weekend. We got Oscars coming up in a few weeks, and that essentially is going to be the makeup of our show today. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about the Oscars and some trendy trends that I found. We're also going to get Jack, the lovely Las Vegas correspondent, back on the phone to talk about what went down last week and also what we can look forward to this week. So without further ado, guys, sit back, relax. If you enjoy what you're listening to, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow our social media at The Paradise Podcast on Instagram, at Pair Podcast on Twitter. And without further ado, let's get right into it. Okay, so the 92nd Annual Academy Awards will take place on Sunday, February 9th, 2020 at 5 p.m. It's been an interesting year for movies, if I do say so myself. It always is in some way, shape, or form. I personally did not see that many of this year's nominees, and that should surprise absolutely nobody listening to this. However, it will not stop me from looking at the board and taking a few shots from the hip, which also should not surprise anyone. So let's get into it. I got three categories that I want to take a look at very quickly. Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, and a special prop, which I will mention in a little while. I think you guys will really enjoy that one. So let's get into Best Picture. I'm going to list the odds here very quickly. Hope to do this efficiently. So the favorite right now, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, plus 150, followed by 1917 at plus 200. Parasite at 4-1. Joker at plus 750. Irishman at 14-1, Marriage Story 25-1, Jojo Rabbit 40-1, and Ford versus Ferrari and Little Women taking up the rear at 66-1. Now, I went back and I did my usual brand of dirty and quick research. And essentially, what I wanted to do, much like the Grammys from last week, I wanted to take a look at the last 10 years and just see if I could glean any sort of trends or commonalities between the winners, or if anything was trending in the last few years. And it didn't take long in the sense that, you know, whenever you have these end of year shows, whether it be the Grammys or the Oscars or the Golden Globes or whatever it is, it's pretty obvious that, you know, the Academy, just like anyone else, suffers from recency bias. I think that's pretty natural for all of us. I mean, it's obvious that a movie that comes out in the first half of the year is not going to maintain the same level of interest of the ones that come out in the last quarter of the year. So going back to 2010, all of the last nine Best Picture winners were released in September or later, with Green Book from last year actually being the earliest release at September 11th. Everything else was later than that. So it's pretty clear that the movies that come out in the last quarter of the year are the ones that have the best chance as far as taking home the award. So when I apply that to this year's nominees, something very quickly jumps off the page in that this year's favorite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is actually the earliest movie of all the nominees to be released. It came out in the middle of the year, July 26th, which is much, much, much earlier than all the other movies. It's about at least three months, in fact, earlier than the next closest, which was Joker. So when you look at that, it really calls into question whether or not it is actually going to take home the award, especially when you get to the fact that the next favorite, 1917, came out so late in the year. I was looking at the release dates on IMDb, and for most countries, 1917 was actually released after Christmas, which is kind of surprising to me, the fact that you would consider a movie to be reviewed for 2019 when most of the countries it was released in came in 2020. I really don't know how that makes any sense, but whatever. So That being said, I do think that that is pretty clearly the favorite, at least in my opinion, when you consider, like I said, the fact that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was released so long ago, and no winner in the last 10 years has come even close to a July release date. I think that makes 1917 a pretty clear favorite in this case, and at 2-1, that does bring in some real value. I did also want to mention the fact that of those last 9 winners, 4 of them came from the month of November. So almost half, 4 out of 9. So the Academy really does have a affinity for that month for some reason, which brings into account 2 other picks for this year, which are Parasite at 4-1 that was released on November 8th, and The Irishman, which was released in theaters on November 27th. So I think that between those 3 picks, 1917, Parasite, and The Irishman, respectively at +200, +400, and 14-1, those are really going to be the picks that have some value this year, at least for me, and at least from what the trends are saying. I will say that I do have a respect for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the fact that it was released so long ago and it has maintained the interest level. I personally saw it. I really like some things about it. I like the soundtrack, the fashion, the cars, everything from that era of California in the 70s I really loved. When it comes to Tarantino movies, I just can't get over the revisionist fantasy history endings. A lot of people like them. I personally have no interest for them. If you're going to make a historical movie, make a goddamn historical movie. Don't make a fantasy. That's just me. But I still, like I said, have respect for it, given the fact that it's maintained this interest level. However, I don't think it's going to win. I just wanted to touch really quickly on the Best Supporting Actor category. It's pretty well wrapped up. Brad Pitt at -700 for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Obviously, when you have a heavy favorite like that, it's pretty hard to spin it or give any sort of trends or flashy picks or anything like that. Joe Pesci and Al Pacino from The Irishman follow up at 6-1 and 9-1, respectively. Anthony Hopkins from The Two Popes at 18-1, followed by Tom Hanks from A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood at 25-1. Like I said before, not real flashy picks or trends or anything like that. Just wanted to mention how great the category was this year, and just to give a small shout out to Al Pacino. Not like he needs it from me, however. Just incredible to me. His now 3rd all-time in the number of nominations behind Paul Newman and Laurence Olivier. His first nomination was all the way back in 72. That's 48 years ago. That's incredible. His last and only win was in 93. That's 27 years ago. So just incredible maintained success. And I just wanted to say bravo to him, and a great category for this year. So that's it. So I want to finish up the Oscar talk with a very fun, very entertaining, very fascinating little prop, and that is which will be the first social and political issue to be mentioned within the course of the show. Obviously, before I go too much farther, I'm not trying to demean or make light of or make fun of these issues themselves. I'm just trying to try to find out which will come off the board first and get us paid. So that being said, I'm going to list off the first 5 favorites because I don't feel like the last half is very relevant as far as what'll hit. So the first 5 are the Australia wildfires as the favorite at +175, climate change at +200, Mr. Donald Trump at +300, Iran at +500, and Ricky Gervais at 15-1. Now, I think a lot of people, like myself included, are immediately drawn to the Australia wildfires because of the pressing nature of the issue and the fact that it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. However, it does bring into mind an interesting question to me, at least from a betting perspective, in that you have the fires and climate change sitting right there next to each other at 175 and 200. And I think the reason why this is because these two things are kind of interchangeable as far as what could be mentioned is in the course of a speech or in course of speaking, because I think those two phrases will be mentioned within mere words of each other. They could both go off in the same sentence, which is absolutely electric and fascinating to think about, that one could go within words of the other, which I think actually will happen. So whoever comes up there first, because as we know, this year's Oscars does not have a set host. It'll be a by committee type of thing. And I do think that whoever comes up there first has a good shot of doing a little aside to start the show about the issue and what you can do and all that kind of stuff. So that obviously has a good shot. It's sitting right there at the top. But I just want to mention the fact that Ricky Gervais is sitting right there in the middle at 15-1. And given the fact that he had that epic rant at the Golden Globes not too long ago, and the fact, like I said, that there isn't a set host for this year's show of the Oscars, I think that actually introduces a pretty interesting joke opportunity for whoever walks up there first. So if they don't mention the fires first, they could always start with a kind of tongue-in-cheek slash dry joke about how, hey, how's everyone doing? Well, just, you know, be relaxed because I'm not Ricky Gervais. So that is an opportunity that I think could get a lot of people paid, in the sense that, like I said, given the fact of the timeliness of the rant and the fact that there's no set host for this year's show, so the first person that goes up there has to kind of break the ice a little bit, I think that could be an interesting way to do it, to bring up their Gervais thing. And like I said, in the course of doing that, get us all paid at 15-1. So that's going to do it for this little segment of Oscar Talk. Now we are going to get Las Vegas correspondent Jack on the phone. All right, so we'll get right into it. First game on Sunday, we got Tennessee at Kansas City. As it stands right now, Kansas City is -7. The over-under is 53. Opened up at 7.5. It's since gone down. The totals opened up at 52. That's since gone up. Just real quick, I just want to say that, in my opinion, I understand, obviously, when you look at the final score of 51-31. By the way, that's just a brutal loss for if you had the Texans there, just straight up or on a teaser. You lost either way. That's just brutal. But I tend to think that that Kansas City performance was just a little bit overblown, in my opinion. The fact that they were down 24-0 at home in the first place is still not a good sign to me. And the fact that I just don't think Houston's very good at all, I think that performance is a little bit overrated, excuse me. And yeah, that's just me. But in terms of going with Tennessee here, I think that's almost just as impossible, because when you look at Tennessee, they obviously have basically one way that they can win this game. And I think that's pretty obvious. They, you know, control the physicality, they control the ball, run the ball a lot. And if you are going to go with Tennessee, I think essentially, you kind of have to go, you're betting on history to happen, and that, you know, Derrick Henry is the only player ever to have 180 yards, three straight games. Tannehill has had under 100 yards for two straight games. So in a sense, I think if you're going with Tennessee here, you're kind of betting on history to happen. And if I know you as well as I do, I think that you tend to bet against history. And that's the way that I would run in this situation. I don't literally love the 7.5. I tend to think that I would take the teaser down, Kansas City teaser down to about a point, rather than taking the Tennessee plus the 14. But that's just me. I would also tend to go with the under in this game. So I guess my best situation would probably go Kansas City down to about a point and the under down to about 59, or up to about 59. What are you thinking?
I would definitely go with the under. I think Tennessee will absolutely be able to control the ball. Can they control it that much that where they can stop those guys from scoring quickly, and they can score quickly? I agree with you. I don't think Houston is that good of a defense. I see what Tennessee did to Baltimore, but Baltimore doesn't have the offense that Kansas City has. I mean, there's just so many weapons and so many ways those guys can beat you. So I am usually a guy that likes to take the points, but, you know, I just think They lose their run right now. I think Kansas City is just on such a roll, scoring points, that they're just going to be too tough to stop. Just too tough to stop. I mean, down 24-0, if you took the 10 or 10.5 in Houston, you were counting your money in the first quarter.
Or even the tees with 17, you still lost.
And you still lost. So, I mean, they just roll. They just, you know, Sammy Watkins is playing great. Kelsey's playing great. The running backs are playing great. You know, can Derrick Henry really run the ball for 180 yards against them and keep them off the field? I mean, if Kansas City does it the other way and jumps to a lead, then what happens? You know, you're relying on Tannehill to win the game for you, and I don't think that can happen. So I would be on this game just willing to lay the points and take Kansas City at home.
I agree.
I think they're going to beat them by two touchdowns. I think they're going to beat them by that.
So would you take? So would you take the 14.5 with the T's in Tennessee, or would you rather just take Kansas City down? I think I would just take Kansas City down.
No, I would just take Kansas City down.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat them by more than 14 points.
So as far as props for this game, I didn't really see too many. There was one in particular that really jumped off the page. So as I said before, Tannehill obviously has two straight weeks of under 100 yards. And if you just had to guess, if you had to guess what his total is for this game projected, what would you say?
132. Wow.
232 yards for Tannehill. I guess they're moving under the assumption that it's going to have to be a pretty pass-heavy game and they're going to have to score points. But I just think that's a lot to ask a guy to basically triple his total from last game to this game against a better team. So I would really – I mean, that's a stone-cold under to me. It's almost one of those ones that kind of scares me a little bit just because of how crazy it is. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe they see something that we don't. But, I mean, 231, that's huge to me. That really jumped off the page.
Well, it seems to me like they're saying that what I just said is going to happen. That Kansas City might jump out to a lead.
Yeah.
And then they have no choice but to start throwing that ball around to get back in the game, especially in the second half. In the first half, they might stick with the run if they're behind. But in the second half, you're going to have to start to throw to catch these guys. If they get that big lead, that's still a lot of yards for that guy. I mean, that's not their type of football.
Yeah.
That is not their type of football.
So I would
tend to agree with you, and I would go under on that.
Yeah, I think so too. So as far as the Chiefs side, Mahomes obviously has some big numbers. I think it's at like 2.5. I think it's 3 now as far as passing TDs. And as far as yards, it's like over 300. It's like 310 or something like that. So I'm going to stay away from that. But as far as the receivers, Kelce obviously completely torched our prop last week. I said under 71 yards. I think he had like 135. So, I mean, that was dead in the first half. So for this week, I'm going to stay away from the yards, but I am going to go over for him as far as 6.5 receptions. I think that's a pretty low number considering what he had last week. I think they're, even if they, you know, he's a guy with those tight ends, you know, even if they're covered, they just find a way to get open for those little out routes, those little flag routes. So I like the over 6.5 for Kelce here, regardless of the yards. I think that's a pretty good pick.
What are the yards?
It's right around the same. It's like 75.
He really had a great game last week, didn't he?
He really did.
Great game.
Yeah.
I would go over on both of those. I think that's Mahomes is out.
Yeah.
You know, he's in trouble. He runs around, or he needs someone to catch a football. He goes to Kelce. I would go over on both of those. I would definitely go over on both of those.
Okay. And then the last one that I saw for this game was you talked about Sammy Watkins a little bit earlier. I actually thought his number was kind of high. So his number right now is 43.5 for yards. I thought that was a little bit high. I know obviously with this offense, it doesn't take much at all. It only can take, you know, two plays to get that. But I don't know. I think that's a little bit high. I don't think he's really featured among their top targets, you know. So I would tend to go under the 43.5 yards. That's just a gut reaction, but I thought it was just a little high.
Again, I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I'm going to go over. I think they're just going to light him up. I think Tennessee's Super Bowl was last week against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Even though I love Vrabel as a coach, I think he's a great coach. I just think they're just going to – now it comes down to talent.
Yeah.
And I think Kansas City, just on the offensive side, just has the talent.
And I think
at home they're great. Kansas City at home is a great, great football team.
Yeah.
And I don't put much weight in the playoffs on home field advantage, but with them, it's definitely worth a couple points.
And I think, you know, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think a lot of people, you know, the Titans have kind of been the darling of this year's playoffs, but and you know, a lot of people are going to bet on them, and you know, a lot of people like Vrabel and Henry and all that stuff. But like I said, you're kind of, if you like him here, you're kind of betting on history to happen. And I think we've seen it enough times that we'd rather be against history than for it. So
I agree.
All right. So moving on to the next game of the weekend. This is Green Bay at San Francisco. The spread has stayed consistent at 7.5 throughout the week. I haven't seen any change in that. And the total is right around 45.5. This game, I could go back and forth on this game. I hate to take two favorites. In a row, but I just think that San Francisco has the energy here. They might not have all the experience, but they just have the energy. And I think we've seen it enough times this year for Green Bay where that's their biggest problem. They have periods of time during the game where they just look so dead. They can have two great quarters. They can have three great quarters, but it's just, I don't think we've really seen them have four great quarters this year, especially when they go across the country to California. They've had, I think they lost all three of their California games, or I don't know if they had three, but I know for sure they lost to the Chargers, and I know for sure that they lost to the Niners. So we've seen them have bad games in California this year. I expect this to continue. I would tend to lay the points here with San Francisco, but I think it will be one of those games where it's close for the first maybe half or so, and then the 49ers pull away late and their defense comes through and gets some stops, maybe a pick or two. What are you thinking?
Well, I was obviously wrong last week because I picked Seattle to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Carroll was a better coach, and obviously he wasn't a better coach in that game, but that's over with. I don't know if I'd bet against Aaron Rodgers after seeing that, though.
I mean, he just does enough to – they don't look great.
They don't look like they're fun, but they find a way to – they won 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I'm going to go with you on this one, too, even though we disagreed a lot last week. San Francisco, I think, has got the energy. I think they got the crowd. I think they're just like, this coach has got them fired up.
Mm-hmm.
This coach has got them fired up. Seven and a half?
7.5 right now, yeah.
Well, you'd hate to get hooked, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's
you would hate to get hooked. And what's the total? 45?
45, yeah.
I'd go the over. I'd stay away from the game. I'd go the over.
I was just about to say, I would take San Francisco down here, just like Kansas City, and I would take the over down as well. So I would have 39.5 for the total, and San Francisco at 1.5. I think that would be a good teaser.
I agree with that one.
So as far as the props for this game, I was kind of unsure. Obviously, you got these two quarterbacks who I think their yardage totals are right around the same. I think they're both around 250. Their numbers are about the same. But I was looking at the receivers, and as far as Green Bay, Devontae Adams. So obviously, he's a huge part of their offense. He kind of carried the game for them last week against Seattle. He's kind of carried a lot of games for them this year. Again, I don't like the yardage so much. I think it's around 85. But I do like the number of receptions. I think that he's going to have to kind of be their guy on offense, obviously. So I do like him getting over 7 receptions. So that's my Green Bay pick as far as props there.
I don't know about 7. That's a lot.
You think so, though? But I mean,
I do because I think after what they saw last week, I think they devised a plan to stop their best guy.
Yeah.
So double cover him the whole game. I mean, obviously, Seattle didn't do a very good job of it, but I think San Francisco is a little bit better in the secondary, aren't they?
They are. I would say that. But I just think, if you're it's kind of the same situation with Tennessee. I mean, if you're down early, you got to start throwing the ball. They don't really have anybody else that scares me. So I think, when you have these kind of like elite connections as far as quarterback receiver, like Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers, and Devontae Adams, they find ways to get the ball to each other all the time, even if it's for like little 5 or 6 yard gains. So like I said, I'm not really sure about the yardage, but I do like the 7 receptions. Cause I think
I mean, it's possible. What the weather's going to be like?
It's San Francisco. So it should be, I highly doubt it's going to be anything, that precarious.
Windy or rainy. Okay. All right. It seems like an okay bet. I wouldn't bet it, but I could go either way on that one.
My next one would be when it comes to these playoff games, I tend to kind of go reverse of whatever we saw last week. And obviously we saw Jimmy Graham come up big for the Packers in that game. He got him that first down. I think he had 2 plays on that drive to kind of seal the game for him. So I would tend to think that he gets pretty much shut out this game. His yardage is pretty low. It's only 22.5. But like I said, I tend to go opposite of what happens. And I think that he gets close to nothing in this game. So I would go under for Jimmy Graham, under 22.5 yards.
No, I would go over on that.
You go over? Okay.
I'd go over on that because I think they will, at least for a while, they'll double team Devontae Adams. So he has to go somewhere else. And Jimmy Graham is like Kelsey is for Mahomes. He's a safety blanket.
Yeah.
So, if he gets 3 or 4 catches for 7, 8 yards each, he's over it, which I think will happen.
Okay. So I got one more for you, and this is another one. This is another number that kind of scares me. Whenever I see a number that's just so either low or high to me, I automatically get a little scared. Emmanuel Sanders for the Niners has been one of their best receivers all year, just big play after big play. And his number for receptions, I thought, was very low. It's only 3.5. So 4 catches wins you that bet. And I obviously tend to think over, but like I said, it's so low that it almost scares me. I don't think he's on the injury report, so it's not a Thielen situation, but I don't know. It seems kind of like a lock over to me. What do you think? 3.5 receptions for one of their best guys? I mean, you see the way they throw the ball around.
I would tend to go over on that one too. Yeah, I think you're going to see some pretty high scoring games this week. I think they're going to be up in the high 40s for both games. Obviously, I'm looking more Kansas City scoring a lot more points, but I think this game will be close. But I think it'll be a high scoring game. I think they'll go over 4 catches.
Yeah. All right, so that's all I got. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to these games?
No, I'm waiting for the games. I'm waiting for that last line to hit Saturday night before I place my bet. See where it goes. See where the public's going, because the public's always wrong, right?
That's right. I would tend to think that you're going to get some more action on Tennessee to kind of get that number down a little bit, and you're going to see some more action on San Francisco to get that number up a little bit. That would be my prediction.
Well, I was reading that. Vegas won a ton on last week's game because everyone had money line bets, and they all wired them to Baltimore.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, so yeah, obviously.
The casinos won a ton last week, so we got to try and get some of that money back, right?
That's right.
All right, very good, my man.
All right, that's all I got for you, Jack. Give a quick plug for your business, as always.
University Connection, across the street from UNLV. Phone number 702-736-9179 for all your embroidery, screen printing, custom jerseys, sport team needs. If it can be printed, we can do it.
All right, sounds good, Jack. Thanks again, as always, and you have a good one.
Okay, have a good weekend.
So that's going to do it for this episode of the Paradise Podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. Thanks to Jack for calling in, as always. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe if you enjoyed. Please follow our social media at The Paradise Podcast on Instagram, at Pair Podcast on Twitter. Hope everyone has a great 3-day weekend out there. Get some rest, have some fun, get some bets in, and happy handicapping.